knock yourself out. I don't advise it. And Jesus says, woe is you if you mislead a child. James says, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you will receive a stricter judgment. James chapter 3, verse 1. And that's my sermon. Have a great day. How else can you cause a little one to stumble? Number 2, teaching a child that sin is acceptable. I'm talking to you, homosexual and lesbian parents who adopt a child, then raise up the child and teach them there's nothing wrong with how they live. Or a parent that lets a child decide later what sex they want to be when they grow up. Mark words it the same way. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a huge millstone was hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea. So did you know that Russia now won't allow Americans to adopt their children anymore? They can't. We've come to the point now where even Russians won't let Americans adopt children. Why? Because Americans are infected with the spirit of Antichrist. That's why. And woe to you if you cause a child to sin. You'd be better off with a millstone around your neck and you'd be cast out here in the sea than what's going to happen to you for causing a child to sin. Number 3, how else can you mislead a child? Number 3 is geared toward men. That is 3, by being an evil man. Millions upon millions of children have bad memories and are unable to love a man or trust a man or honor God as masculine because they had an evil coward for a father who assaulted them or who physically assaulted their mother. I'll call you from here. You're a coward. You beat on a woman, you're a coward. You sexually molest your child, you're a coward. Big tough guy. Without getting on your knees in repentance, you will by no means enter the kingdom. But you see, this is why the blood is so important. If you're convicted so far and there's breath in you, this is why Jesus died. For you to be forgiven of that. You leave it here today. There is nothing you have done that you cannot be forgiven of. Hallelujah, he's still convicting you of these things. If you're so far guilty, my Jesus didn't die in vain. And that's why there's such dire warnings for taking communion the wrong way and trampling underfoot the blood of the Savior, because there's power in the blood. No matter what you've done, his blood is strong enough to obliterate your sins. That's good news. That's good news. Let's move on. Let's move on to church discipline. Verse 15. It's usually bad news. I've met people here in this church, not recently left people, but long ago left people. They used to be able to quote Matthew 18. And I was, whoa, I'm scared of anyone that can quote Matthew chapter 18. When you know by heart the textures on church, the scriptures on church discipline, you're involved in it so much that you know it by heart. Verse 15, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, so that by the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, let every word be established. Again, Jesus is quoting the law now, Deuteronomy 17:6. Verse 17, if he or she refuses to hear, tell it to the church. But if he refuses to hear the church, Let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. What does that mean? It means you avoid them. When someone is dispelled out of this church or asked to leave and they're gone, the Son of God says, avoid them. Treat them like a tax collector. When your pastor says, don't contact them anymore, have no fellowship with them, he's trying to protect you. Because Jesus says, treat him like a tax collector. The Apostle Paul says, deliver such a person over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that their spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now imagine a pastor doing that, asking people not to contact someone, and then someone is out here because the pastor is trying to protect the people, and then if the people in the church went and fellowshiped with the person anyway, how would he take to that? What would happen if the Apostle Paul did that and all the people of Corinth went to the person's house and hung out with him anyway? I'm telling you what Jesus' instructions are. Not to hurt the person, but to restore fellowship to them. There's a word for people that do this. It comes from Oswald Chambers. And he calls them an amateur providence. An amateur providence. That's when you get in the way of the hand of God, when he's trying to work in someone's life. Let God have his way with them, and he will bring them about to repentance, true repentance. The end goal is fellowship and forgiveness and welcome back. And you can't interfere in God's work when he's working. Let's move on here. Up next, the parable of the unforgiving servant. Verse 21, then Peter came up to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Verse 23, what's the first word? Therefore, that is, since forgiveness is unconditional and full of grace, the kingdom of heaven is like, here we go again. We've been reading that all throughout this gospel, haven't we? The kingdom of heaven is like, all chapter 13, the kingdom of heaven is like. Here it goes again. What's heaven like, Jesus? The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him that owed to him 10,000 talents. Now, John MacArthur says this is an incomprehensible amount of money. A talent is the largest unit of measure in the Bible. Depending on who's measuring, it's either 75 or 90 pounds is one talent. Verse 25. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that it be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience on me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. How would you feel at this point? Carol was expressing to me the joy to me this past Wednesday of having some debt forgiven in her life and the joy that that brought, and most important than all, the praise that God received as a result. Imagine if you had a debt of 10,000 talents forgiven by your creditor. Now, I did some rough numbers on this on my iPhone. 10,000 talents times 75 pounds to a talent, that's 750,000 pounds of gold. Now, at $1,300 an ounce on the open market, times 28 ounces to a pound, you got $36,400 to a pound. Thus, $750,000 times $36,400. Guess what? I broke my iPhone. And it dawned on me, I've broke God's iPhone. That's how much my debt was. It showed up on my phone. It shows up 2.73 with a little E and 10. That's the equivalent of your sins and mine in the eyes of God. My sins are so heavy, I broke my iPhone. Where is Steve Jobs when I need him? You think what you have is flawless? Let's start adding up your sins on here, Smedley. We'll see how flawless it is. My sins are so great, I broke my iPhone. That's astounding to me. That's the equivalent of my sins and yours. There's too many to number. What you owe your master is iPhone breaking. It's too much to fathom. It's so much to fathom, your calculator's got to use letters instead of numbers. I got a picture of it. I'll show you later. You tell me what it reads. What is 2.73E10? What are my sins in the sight of God? 2.73E10, it's even worse than that. It's the blood and death of his son. That's a lot more than 2.73E10. That's what our sins are. I'll tell you what, it's high enough that I can't pay it. How about you? Who's got 2.73E10 in their back pocket or in their purse? How many E's do you have, Mike? I'm all out of E's. I got one E, and it's on my license. And I gave Carol an E. She's an Esposito, too. That's all the E's I've got. I have no more. And here comes someone greater than you, full of mercy and compassion, and forgives you of 2.73E10, a number you can't even fathom. What would you do? Let's see what this man did. Verse 28. Who's got that open? Mike, read verse 28 for me. $100. All right, hold on a minute. That's something like this. For $100, people, $100. He grabbed him by the throat, my Bible says. Love you, brother. Come on, $100. What's happened here? What's happened? Let's go back at what started this. Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said, I do not say to you up to seven, but up to 70 times seven. Forgiveness is for you. It's not for them. Forgiveness is for you. Look. When you forgive, you take on the character of God. And I challenge Darwin or Hawking or anyone else to show me out of a pile of primordial soup forgiveness. Forgiveness. Show me how I evolved into that higher form of living. No, that's an attribute of God. It's a quality of God. He's given it to you. Forgive all. That's what all this is about. You've been forgiven of 2.73 E10, and this sap over here owes you $100. And you're going to grab him by the throat? You've missed it. You've missed it. Forgive. Church. Forgive. Forgive people that have hurt you and offended you. It's the character and the nature of God on the inside of you. Forgive. Take it from me. Whatever you've done, whatever someone has done to you, what you've done to God is worse. Matthew 6:14, it says, If you forgive men their trespasses, then your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Now let's wrap up this sad parable. Verse 31. Now when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. So then his master, after he had called him, he said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you of all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry, or the King James says he was wroth. And he delivered him to who? Who? Yeah, torturers. Until he had paid all that was due to him. Verse 35. Look at what Jesus says next to this guy. So will my heavenly Father do to you. Talk about threat of the day. So will my heavenly Father do to you. What's the next word? If. So will my heavenly Father do to you if each of you, then it says from his heart, meaning not lip service. Not just spouting off something with your mouth that you don't believe in your heart. Oh, yeah, I forgive you. It's got to come from within. So will my heavenly Father do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. That's what all this is about. Is there any unforgiveness in you? This is what I leave you with today. Is there any unforgiveness in you that you have been holding on to? Now, while Darren and Sharon play, I want to open up the altar, give you the opportunity to come up front.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Somewhere between the hot and the cold, somewhere between the new and the old, somewhere between who I am and who I used to be, somewhere in the middle you'll find me. Somewhere between the wrong and the right, somewhere between the darkness and the light, somewhere between who I was and who you're making. somewhere in the middle you'll find me. Just how close can I get, Lord, to my surrender without losing all control? Fearless warriors in a picket fence, reckless abandon wrapped in common sense, deep water faith in the shallow end, and we are caught in the middle with eyes wide open to the differences, the God we want and the God who is. But will we trade our dreams for his, or are we caught in the middle? Are we caught in the middle? Somewhere between my heart and my hands, somewhere between my faith and my plans, somewhere between the safety of the boat and the crashing waves, somewhere between a whisper and a roar, somewhere between the altar and the door, somewhere between contented peace and always wanting more, somewhere in the middle you'll find me. Just how close can I get, Lord, to my surrender without losing all control? Fearless warriors in a picket fence, reckless abandon wrapped in common sense, deep water faith in the shallow end, and we are caught in the middle with eyes wide open to the differences, the God we want and the God who is. But will we trade our dreams for his, or are we caught in the middle? Lord, I feel you in this place, and I know you're by my side, loving me even on these nights when I'm caught in the middle.
Like I'm coming undone, this world can often feel lonely. No matter what, until this race is won, I will stand my ground where hope can be found. I will stand my ground where hope can be found. Why I will can be found. I will stand my ground where hope can be found.
This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station, WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
With good news for today from Baptist Press, I'm Brandon Porter. Anxiety is widespread among teenagers. If you lined up 100 teenagers between the ages of 13 and 18, you could expect approximately every third teenager to experience an anxiety disorder at some point in their teen years, experts say. And almost every 10th teenager would experience anxiety that causes severe impairment. In a piece on Baptist Press, Esther Smith encourages parents to have hope and lean in as they care for their teenagers struggling with anxiety. Smith encourages parents to consider the questions they're asking. Consider asking questions like, what is anxiety like for you? How is your anxiety triggered? When is the first time you remember feeling anxious? She says parents can often ask the same question in a different way to receive a helpful response and opportunity for conversation. For instance, instead of asking them if they are praying or reading their Bible, consider asking, how does your relationship with God help you when you're feeling anxious? Or, if you turn to God but don't seem to get help, how do you deal with that? Smith encourages parents to be more invitational, more honest about the mysterious ways God does and doesn't work through Scripture and prayer. She also encourages them to be less focused on hints of legalism and more focused on the relationship that we can experience with Jesus. You can read the full piece at baptistpress.com.
Good News for Today is made possible through our friends at the Voice of the Martyrs, a nonprofit organization that serves persecuted Christians around the world. Founded in 1967 by Richard and Sabina Wormbrand, VOM is dedicated to inspiring believers to deepen their commitment to Christ and to fulfill His great commission, no matter the cost. Find out more and sign up for their free monthly magazine at vom.org/goodnews.
The Unify Project, a gospel-centered, ethnically diverse racial reconciliation ministry designed to mobilize Southern Baptist pastors and leaders in unifying their communities, is expected to launch this week with widespread national participation. That's according to Project Co-Chairman Ed Litton. Fred Luter, the senior pastor of Franklin Avenue Baptist Church in New Orleans and the lone African-American to have served as SBC president, joined Litton as co-chair of the project that also has renowned pastor Tony Evans as its chief collaborator. Luter appreciates the widespread project participation. The Unify Project will encourage pastors to assemble in their communities to address racial strife and to act by serving their communities in tangible acts of love aimed at healing. You can get more information at our website, baptistpress.com. Thanks for listening to Good News for Today.